I was like, oh, I should do an assessment with you. You know, I've always wondered if I'm ADHD or ADD. Mm-hmm. She just started laughing. She goes, I don't need an assessment. I've been watching you for a year.
So you decided to switch your conferences to being specifically for ADHD business owners.
He goes, I don't think you know what you did. You just Pavloved your guests. So when they smell this scent, their brain releases a controlled amount of dopamine so they can actively switch between these two modes as they need to. You are right. I did not know what I did.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this wonderful interview with Stephanie Scheller. So Stephanie, who I've had the opportunity to meet before, is a TEDx speaker, a three-time best-selling author, an award-winning entrepreneur, and the founder of Grow Disrupt, a company that designs and produces retreats and conferences for ADHD small business owners. We actually connected, I don't know if you know this, Stephanie, because we were both guests on Peter Shaiman's podcast. And I'm really excited to be talking to her today about how to create an environment you don't want to leave when you have ADHD. So welcome, Stephanie. It's really great to have you here.
Thank you. I love. This is one of my favorite topics. I was chatting with someone the other day and they were sharing like the limitations they have at like their office and all of these things and how hard it is for them to get into focus mode. And I realized how very lucky I am to like get to design my office from scratch because I get to do all of these, like space is such an impactful piece for me. And so I'm excited to get to talk about these and hopefully give some people some new ideas.
Yeah, awesome. And yeah, we're excited to get them. We're going to get into the nitty gritty and ask all the questions. So it's very cool. So before we get started into that, let's talk a little bit about you and your ADHD. When were you diagnosed?
So I've always kind of had this like, am I not question. And when I was, I think 26 or 27, I was part of a networking group. And one of the members of this networking group, she ran a company that did diagnoses for kids in school so they could get their accommodations. And I was doing a one-on-one with her and I just joked. I was like, oh, I should do an assessment with you. You know, I've always wondered if I'm ADHD or ADD. Mm-hmm. And she just started laughing. She goes, I don't need an assessment. I've been watching you for a year. You are so ADHD. It's not funny. I was like, oh, what? So I was like, well, why do you say it? She started going through some of the pieces with me. And so that was like my official, like, I guess I am. And then there was like this moment of, well, I'm 26 years old. Like I've learned how to, I've built a business. I've learned how to function as an adult. I went to college. I went to college. Like, okay. It doesn't mean anything. It's just, yay, I've got letters. And then it was really in 2021. So we had our events did very, very well in 2020, which blew everyone away because, you know, we run events.
Yeah.
And so in 2021, we were trying to figure out what exactly is the secret sauce here? Like one, what is it about all these things that we do that allowed us to keep running events during a pandemic? You know, we always had rooms that were double the size of expected occupancy. We already had like air filters because I didn't want people distracted by smells of lunch. Like there was all these things that we'd put in. And so 2021, we're trying to figure out like, okay, we doubled in size. What's the secret sauce? And I literally just had a running list of all of these things that we do at our events on my desk. I just remember having like a zone out moment one afternoon and I was just like scrolling on just reels or TikToks or something. And I ended up like spiraling down on like an ADHD, you know, thing. And it was just talking about all these things that people were like, oh yeah, that's my ADHD. And I was like, wait, I didn't realize I did that because of my ADHD. That's ADHD. And I go to the next one. I'm like, wait, I didn't realize that. And all of a sudden I had this like, I just remember like looking at my screen and looking at the list and looking at my screen and looking at the list going, oh my God, everything on here is because of my ADHD. And that was where like this aha moment of like, wait, I've been making accommodations for my ADHD for a long time.
Yeah.
What if I actually paid attention? And so here we are.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And I think we've all had that moment where you're like, wait, and also this, and also this, like our clients will talk to them all the time and they'll be like, I'm sure this isn't ADHD, but now that we're here, I just want to mention it. And you're just sitting there being like, this is such a common ADHD thing.
I know, like, it's this crazy, like, feeling of like, oh, I want to be special. I'm sure it's just me. And then all of a sudden, it's, oh no, just me and every other person. Okay,
you're
got it.
You have a special minority. Yeah. A special group of people with ADHD. Yeah, exactly. So you decided to switch your conferences, which you were already running, mm-hmm. to being specifically for ADHD business owners. So tell me what that was about. And I love your name, by the way, Grow Disrupt. It's kind of like unconventional organization. It's kind of that similar vibe.
Right? Like, let's change things up here. So we figured that out in 2021. We realized, like, there was so many things that we were doing that was really, mm-hmm. so, you know, we fed people at the event. And one of the reasons we always feed people at our events is I didn't want them having to stress about where to go for lunch or get back on time. I didn't want them having to think about what they were going to eat. I wanted them focusing on the content. And again, like, I'm realizing, oh, wait, that's because when you have ADHD, you end up with extra brain fatigue, having to make 40 extra decisions. And that's not exclusive to individuals with ADHD, mm-hmm. but it definitely comes into play a little bit more here. You know, we don't do sales pitches at our events because I didn't like the fact that it would be very difficult for me to focus after a sales pitch, mm-hmm. because my mm-hmm. brain is going down the path of, like, evaluating everything I just learned. And what did they teach me that was just to try and convince me to buy their program? And what can I mm-hmm. actually implement? Can I actually implement any of this? And so now I've missed half of the next speaker mm-hmm. because my brain mm-hmm. is trying to focus. So it was just all of these pieces. And so 2021, we realized this is our secret sauce. And I went to multiple people that I, you know, had a lot of respect for. And I said, hey, so I think this is our secret sauce. And a solid 50% of them were like, oh my God, don't tell anyone. And I was like, oh,
keep it secret.
Okay. Why? They were like, no one's going to want to go to an event that's for ADHD. They're not going to go to an event that basically diagnosing them as ADHD. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize it was a bad thing. Like, I was so,
out here just like telling everyone, like,
yeah, like, so 2021, we didn't say anything. We just started mm-hmm. I just started going, okay, so if this is the key, then I'm going to start pursuing this. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't really till 2022 that I finally, like, had this moment of like, okay, so you know what? If we have some people who decide to stop coming to our events because mm-hmm. they're for ADHD mm-hmm. people, that's okay. And there's nothing wrong with them for not wanting to be associated with that. There's nothing, you know, that's fine. But I think we need to actually embrace this because we're starting to go, like, 2022 was when we started digging into getting our custom scent created. And that was when I was like, look, if I'm going to spend money on commissioning custom items and all of this stuff built for the, like, we should be able to talk about that. Yeah. And so that was when we went public with it.
Yeah, awesome. And I want to dive into that, but I'm going to hold off on a second because first I want to explain to people, you know, in our podcast, we're always talking about research. So we found some research about this idea, which specifically found that if you have ADHD and you're thinking, yeah, I might be more sensitive, but is that really because of my ADHD or is that just because of me or maybe I'm just overthinking it. We actually did find some research that indicates that, yes, people with ADHD are more likely to struggle with environmental sensitivities. Probably surprising no one, but it's still good to have that. So, Sarah, do you want to take us through a little summary of that research? And then we can dive into how it works with your conferences.
Yes.
So this paper is called The Relationship Between ADHD Traits and Sensory Sensitivity in the General Population. And the reason I read that is because it gives us a lot of really good information, right? They were studying the general population and they were looking at self-reported ADHD traits and also self-reported atypical sensory experiences. And so they had sort of two self-report studies for that. They measured 7 different types of sensory stimuli. So visual, auditory,
covered everything.
proprioceptive. they really went for it. And they found that obviously the people who self-reported higher levels of ADHD symptoms also reported atypical sensitivity. The paper mm-hmm. talks about how, you know, this is sort of an overlap with autism spectrum disorders and sort of the authors advocate for more research into this and sort of adding a sensory component to the ADHD diagnosis because it currently is not one.
Yeah. That would be amazing. just another exciting addition to hopefully the diagnostic process in the future. So with that in mind, with that information in mind, I will admit I hated conferences. And I say hated because I'm sure I would love yours. I've never been to it, but I have done everything back in my academic life to avoid conferences. So let's run down kind of what sucks about conferences mostly, and then what you're doing to like talk about that. Am I making you call out conferences? I really
you're giving me like the heebie-jeebies here. I'm thinking about all the things conferences do that drive me nuts.
Well, let's go through a few because I'm sure they're also, you know, relatable for those of us in our audience.
Yes. So some of the things that... How, where do we even start here? So, and I will preface this. There are some conferences that make the choice to intentionally include some of these elements because when you're exhausted and you have very little brain power left, you are more likely to say yes to buying things. And so there are conferences.
Yeah. I found that out preparing for this podcast. Yeah.
There's some conferences out there do this to an extreme degree. Some incredibly well-known conferences out there do this to an extreme degree. I think it's scary what some of these people do. And when I started doing our events, there's a lot of things that I was told to do specifically to break people down mentally, emotionally, and physically so that they would buy my stuff at the end of the conference.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
I mean, it's creepy stuff. Now, that I always do want to preface. Like, some of this stuff is just industry norms, and they're not, and sometimes people use some of these things because they were told to do them, not realizing what the impact is. So I always want to preface when I talk about these with like, just because you saw this at a conference doesn't mean that the producer of that conference was like a devious, like terrible person. doesn't mean they did this on purpose. But there are people that do, and we're not going to talk about who exactly those are. I'll let you figure that out for yourself. But some of the things I really, really dislike, when the music is really loud, they have music pumping from the get-go, from registration all the way through like the on-site in the vendor area, like the ones where you are like leaning close and like yelling to be heard and your throat is raw by the end of day one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Major issues with that from sensory stimuli side of things, but also from the physical, like wear you outside of things. So not a fan of that one. I really dislike, and this one is just like an industry standard norm, but most registration areas are not really designed with much thought. Like it's just kind of like, oh, here's a table, queue up. And there's not usually tons of signs for where to go and what to do first. And then once you're through registration, you're just kind of like thrown to the wolves a little bit. And it's like, all right, here's a room full of people. And all of the, I mean, we're just even talking about like just the beginning parts of these conferences. Those are the pieces I really dislike. I will say the other one that really, really frustrates me is the seating and how they're always, they always have you so close, right? And so you're sitting there like trying not to bump the person next to you and trying to take notes. And from an ADHD side, from a sensory stimuli point, like the just fact, right?
You want to sit stimulated. Weird. Like, I'm not going to sit normal for that many hours.
No. And so now I can't focus on what's going on stage. So there's a few of my least favorite parts of going to most conferences.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, you're making my decision to avoid conferences make a lot more sense now.
I can definitely keep going. Like it's a whole thing and it's psychological warfare sometimes.
Yeah, 100%. Sarah, do we have any more from the audience? I can see the questions are popping off.
Yeah, definitely the loud music, sort of not knowing where to go, resonating with the audience here. It's feeling a lot like a labyrinth at what you're describing.
Yeah.
Which I think makes sense from a marketing and sales perspective, right? Like they want to like push you through their like thing. But also from like a people perspective, that sounds icky.
It does. Well, and if you think about too, so if you think about this labyrinth, I love the labyrinth that someone brought up. So if I throw you into a labyrinth and you're feeling overwhelmed and you're not knowing what direction to go, and then someone gets on stage and starts giving you instructions for where to go, you automatically put them at a higher level of like, oh, I can trust this person. He's helping make things make more sense. So now when that person tells you to go to the back of the room and buy something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. That's very crazy.
I know, so, right?
On the opposite side, tell us what you've done with your conferences to make them ADHD friendly, to make them something that we will want to go to.
Yes. So let's start with registration. Let's start with the registration area, since that's what we talked about the most. So first of all, one of the things that we did, we custom commissioned basically Muzak. So music that has been built with some research into the studies that have shown what types of, I'm not going to be the best person to talk about this. I should have refreshed my memory with my composer before I got on here. But there are certain key signatures that move the brain certain ways. There are certain beats and patterns that move the brain certain ways. And so what we did was we took like, okay, so there's studies on what music does inside the brain. And then we went and we looked inside, okay, so what type of brain waves, what state do we want to put the brain in that's going to put people in the mood to connect? And so Susanna actually composed music that is built using these key signatures, these pieces that is supposed to help put their brain into more of a connect mode. So they walk in right away. The music's not super loud. It's really nice in the background. There are signs for where to go, very clear signs. Go here, go here, go here. And then the next thing that we have, well, before they even get on site, actually, we do a whole bunch of work through the emails. And one thing we added in January that I really loved, we actually started a game with all of the participants before they even got on site. So inside of the game, they would log these activities and then they had like a whole news feed where they were all interacting with each other and saying hi and getting to see each other's activities for 2 weeks leading up. So by the time you walked into the room, you knew 30% of the room and you got to see pictures. So walking into the room wasn't like, oh my God, there's a whole bunch of people I don't know. It was like, hey, Daphne, I've been seeing your picture. And like, you did this and wow, you're a beast drinking water, whatever. So like the things we would do leading up, we do micro events leading up so they get the chance to meet each other in real time so that no one's walking into the room completely disconnected and disengaged from the audience. My role is also during the registration time to be the one to walk in and walk every single person into a conversation with someone else so that no one's walking into the room and just feeling like, what do I do? We always have a game of some variety going in registration as well. So the one that was most successful for us in 2023, we had this mountain and there was a sign that said there was a bunch of little rocks and it said, can you stack the rocks at the top of the mountain in such a way that when you knock one loose, they all fall? And everyone was circled around the mountain trying to figure out how to do this. And it created like this instant rapport where people were like, wait, okay, so if we try this, like it was hilarious. It was awesome. It was completely accidental, but like it gave everyone an instant connection point. And then the other thing we do is we don't let people sit down at their tables. We let them go in, set their stuff down. They're not allowed to sit until 10 minutes prior to start, because once you sit, then you just kind of fall into your zone here. So there's a handful of ways we handle registration a little bit differently.
Yeah, that's great. I can already see there's so many differences. I mean, I guess my other questions are in terms of movement, because one of the biggest things I think, you know, it's literally in the diagnostic, especially if you have ADHD, is wanting to move around, like not being able to sit in one place, wanting to kind of transition. So what have you sort of done for that? I can see from your face that you've done something.
we have several things we've done here. So one, the way we set up our tables, there's a few things we do with our tables. One, we do five chairs at every table instead of six, because if you have five chairs at every table, the group stays in one conversation, is more likely to. If you have six, they split into two conversations, which creates extra mental drain on the two people in the middle who are hearing two conversations at once. So five chairs at each table, right? Which is something no one even thinks about. But we also set it up so each table has a fairly easy path to the back of the room without getting in other people's way. Like I actually go sit in every single seat before the event starts to make sure it has an unobstructed view to the stage and a relatively quick path to the back of the room, where we then have cocktail tables set up. So if someone wants to get up and go to the back of the room and like stand and take notes and work, we do fidgets in all of our swag bags. So every swag bag has some variety of a quiet fidget. And then we take breaks. We take like half hour breaks and we encourage people to go out. We always have a garden attached to our venues. So we encourage people to go out and walk around the garden, like go for a walk, go out in the green. It resets your brain. So go for a walk and get some movement.
Wow. That's amazing. That's so good.
We know that ADHD can feel overwhelming and frustrating, and that's on a good day. and we don't want anyone to have to navigate that alone.
That's why we created the ADHD Academy, where adults with ADHD can meet, join, share stories, and support each other in a judgment-free way. If you want to connect with others who truly understand you and learn research-based strategies to help you feel more in control and build momentum in your life and work, you found the right place.
Together, let's transform your ADHD challenges into strengths. If you'd like to know more, you can click the link below to join us in the ADHD Academy.
Hope to see you there. I want to just go on and on, but I'm going to stop and ask Sarah, do you have anything you want to add?
Not really any questions. Just again, a lot of like, wow, that's amazing. When you were talking about the mountain activity in the beginning, it sort of reminded me of like an interactive, like a kids museum exhibit. And I love that. I personally love going to children's museums for the most part, except for the, I guess the children.
Loud.
So an event like this like would be great. Just kidding. I love kids. I love my kids. It's just that unpredictable nature.
They are, and they can be very unaware of their volume because they have not necessarily fully developed that portion of their brain.
Sure.
So it can be very exhausting.
So, and especially in this context, we're talking about, right, like a very like sensory, understimulated, you know, like an optimal level. Kids aren't conducive to that. But anyway, you're right. It is just their brain sort of development space. But that interactive stuff, it sounds really great for like ADHD people in particular. A lot of us can struggle socially. And so building an opportunity where you have to work together gives them an in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It gives them a common like goal. And now, you know, I don't have to walk in. I've found a lot of ADHD people don't like the small talk, the useless, oh, what do you do? And how's the weather? Like, we don't really care. And like, I'll ask you what you do once I get to know you and I actually care about who you are as a person. And then I actually do want to know what you do. But like, just asking what you do, like, whatever. No, but if we have this, like, this goal of like, okay, we have to figure out, we have 18 rocks and they're not staying at the top of the mountain. What do we do? Like now it transforms that whole first conversation in such a big
100%,
way.
100%. 100%. So a question, you know, I have is like, for those people who are listening who are like, that sounds like the best conference ever, but I am in a workplace. Do you have any ideas? And I know this isn't your area, but I did want to ask, do you have any ideas about how some of what you do could be translated into people's day-to-day?
Yes. I actually get asked this question a lot because there's a lot of things that we do at our events and they're like, okay, so Stephanie, I can't necessarily like pipe a custom scent into my workplace and I can't do this and I can't do that. I'm like, okay, but there are things you can do. So if you have the option, if you have the chance to set up some variety of lighting in your cubicle, even if it's just like a colored light, like a little glow light right by your monitor, it doesn't have to be like, I've got, you know, obviously backlighting.
Yeah. For those of you listening, Stephanie's space is very well lit, very beautiful.
It is. Yes. I love, again, I'm super visual stimulated. So I have backlights. I have the ability to change these colors. So the remote, I can change what color is going on. So I encourage, find something that you can influence the relative shade of what you're seeing as you're working. So whether that is getting some sort of light by your desk. And again, it doesn't have to be big. Sometimes it's just you being able to see it, get some greenery. So there's a whole bunch of studies about seeing something man-made versus seeing nature and the amount of mental fatigue that occurs between the two of them. So getting something, and it doesn't have to be real nature. So if you can keep a plant alive, great. If you have a black thumb like I do, then fake plants or even pictures of plants can do the same thing. Keep your desk organized. This is something I think ADHD people maybe aren't the greatest at, but like what I've told everyone is just get a basket that is your clutter basket. You're going to have clutter, just accept it. Just don't let it be in your working space because what happens is we end up falling, you know, prey to change blindness. So we don't even notice the clutter, but it is wearing on our brains the entire time we're working. And so just focus on keeping your desk. I clear off my desk at the end of every week. Everything gets organized, cleaned up, moved around. And then my clutter basket gets cleared out about once a quarter because there's always stuff that I'm like, oh yeah, I thought I needed to keep this. Don't know why. But keep your work area clean. So lighting clean. If you have some control over your desk or your chair situation, finding stuff that is more ergonomic is super helpful. Mm-hmm. Again, you're just trying to like set your body up so it's not being overstimulated, which then mm-hmm. creates a lot of mental wear. So there's a few really great people that I like to follow that talk a lot about office ergonomics and stuff, but mm-hmm. a couple right off the top. Your keyboard should rest, like your hands should be straight out from the elbows if they're hanging off your shoulders. So you shouldn't be up mm-hmm. or down. Your eyes should go naturally to the URL bar on your browser. Mm-hmm. So if you're That's having a good to idea.
Like yeah.
bend your head, right? I actually even have this stupid ergonomic mouse, which I know people aren't necessarily going to be able to see on the recording, but it's like this really crazy. Yeah. I literally don't have to turn. It's such
a dome.
Oh my God, it's fantastic. So like I literally, everyone usually has to like turn their hand in order to work their mouse. Mm-mm-mm. And this is just a much more natural.
Yeah.
It's because my mm-hmm. hand just goes straight in. So those are mm-hmm. things we typically do have control over, even in a work environment.
Mm-hmm.
If
yeah.
you can have headphones for music, great. If you can have, if you are allowed to have scents or candles, I'm a big fan of using scent for helping to manage ADHD because you can train your brain that like when this scent is on, when this candle is lit, it's work time. And then yeah. when it's not, mm-hmm. it's not work time.
Operant yeah. conditioning for the win.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you created your own scent for the conferences. So do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So this was one of the early things that we commissioned, and I commissioned it partially for the idea of the ADHD brain and can I get something that would actually work with helping people stay focused. But the initial driver was actually memory. So scent is tied to memory very strongly. Yes. And my original goal was, could I get a scent that we pipe into the room at the event that's unique enough that if I send people home with some of the scent, it could help them remember what they learned at the event mm-hmm. throughout the year. Mm-hmm. And so I sat down and I did some studies and we found a few studies that were talking about specific scents that really helped facilitate focus in the brain. Mm-hmm. And then I found an aromacologist. And fortunately, we have like one of the top 10 aromacologists is actually local to me, which was like, what? Like one of the top 10 in the US. He does. I know. I was so excited. So I went down and I met with him and we talked about it and he gave me the funniest looks. I was like, so I want to create a scent that like has these set pieces to it. He was like, what?
What are you doing?
Like this does this in the brain and this does that. He was like, what are we doing? I think he thought I was crazy, but he worked with me and we came up with this custom scent, right? So now we have this really cool custom scent that you can only get at our events. We have people go crazy trying to buy it and it's really expensive.
You should definitely like bottle about that. Yeah.
Well, we've talked about it.
Does it come in a roll on?
$900 an ounce. Like, it's
wow.
Yeah. I spend $750.
No wonder at that point you were like, we have to go big.
Yeah. So like, yeah. So we were like, okay. But what was funny was, so the first like big event we did, so we created it in 2022. First big event was January 2023, our grow retreat. And we used the scent. And one of our speakers was Owen. Oh my God, I'm blanking on his last name. But he's a relatively big name neuroscientist over in the UK and in Europe. Mm-hmm. And he's mm-hmm. coming over here to the US. We brought him in to talk about goal setting for the ADHD brain. Mm-hmm. And he came to me at the end of the event and he goes, I need to talk to you. And I was mm-hmm. like, okay, what? He goes, I don't think you know what you did. I was like, okay. What did
Great
I do?
Thing to hear.
Yeah. So we set up this time to talk and he goes, that custom scent, do you know what you did with that? I was like, well, my goal is to help people remember things more. And I thought, you know, we mm-hmm. use these scents may help people focus. Mm-hmm. He goes, you just spent 2 days with a very unique custom scent, giving people carefully modulated and regulated releases of dopamine for mm-hmm. 2 days straight. You controlled their food, you controlled their water, you controlled their sensory, you gave them all kinds of like wins. We had contests and little games and little things. And mm-hmm. so people, he was like, you gave people literally super controlled releases of dopamine mm-hmm. for 2 days straight. He said, do you know how the ADHD brain works? And he starts talking. I was like, well, some. He goes, okay, so there's this thing called default mode network and positive task mode. Do you know what these mm-hmm. are? And he explains them to me. And then he goes, do you know how to get between the two of them? And I was like, I didn't know what they were. So no, I don't know how to get between them. He goes, it's dopamine. Because what you just did was you literally just trained your guests you just Pavloved your guests. So when they smell this scent, their brain releases a controlled amount of dopamine so they can actively switch between these two modes as they need to work. And I was like, you are right. I did not know what I did. Like, that was really cool. So that was when we were like, all right, well, the custom scent, I mean, it's expensive, but we're doing it at every event now.
It's going to stay. You're like, could we fend it out? Like, we could have gotten a discount.
But yeah, so that was really fun to figure out. And now I talk to people all the time. I'm like, no, I mean, it takes, if you're not going to an event where you have, mm-hmm. you know, 2 days straight of controlled stimuli, it will take more time to train your brain, but you can still train your brain. Find a custom scent. You can still train your brain. Like, that's really, really, really cool.
That's awesome. That's great.
I would like to cut in on this whole scentology conversation before we move on. I'm dying to know, like, what notes we're talking about. Like, are we talking about musky scents, floral,
or is fruity? It a secret?
Like, I'm not asking for the recipe, but just like, get me in that direction.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I won't give the full recipe. There is a little bit, the one note that I will tell everyone that is in there is petrichor, which is the scent right after rain. So that's the one note that I will actually, like, the actual note that I'll reveal. The scent has a little bit of an herby element to it. It has, which that sounds terrible, but it's got a little bit of an herbal element. It's got a little bit of citrus, and then it's got a very clean, fresh forest scent to it. And then, of course, the petrichor is one of the early notes, and it's also one of the last notes.
Yeah. Wow. That sounds lovely. I felt like I just went on an experience listening to you talk about it. So thank you so much.
You smell it. It's like, so the first note is the petrichor, and then you get this herbal piece, and then you get the citrus, and then you get the clean forest, and then it wraps with the petrichor again. And it's just, I have it going right now because this is how I stay focused for podcasts. And
sounds amazing. Bring on the scent technology. Yeah, definitely. Right. Actually, that reminds me, I did have another question. This is, again, not on our list, but you've been so great. I'm just going to ask you anyway, which is, what do you do about live events? Because I know you run live events as well as, and that's obviously a lot trickier in terms of the physical experience. Is it what can you do and what do you do?
So we are launching our first, we actually did away with our virtual events, the virtual live events for a while because we were struggling with how to control that on-site experience. Mm-hmm. We are doing a live virtual event in May this year and it will come. There is a VIP box option that does include the ability to, like, it includes some of the scent, it includes some fidgets, it includes different pieces. But there's a few things that we've gotten a lot better at with controlling that make a big difference, even for the virtual events, and why we feel comfortable going back into a virtual event arena. One is the technology for how to run the virtual event has gotten a lot better. Like, we're all tired of Zoom meetings. Yes. We got tired of those by, like,
is it the opposite
April
of a good scent?
2020.
Yeah, people are
we're done. But the technology's evolved. So there's like gamified platforms where you're actually creating a game out of participating in the event. So that is super, super important because when you have that gamification going on and you can then use that to help control the release of dopamine. So again, we're creating a little bit more of that environment. The boxes themselves are going to come with instructions for how to, like, help set up your environment. It'll come with some snacks. It'll come with the scent. It'll come with instructions of how to, here's how to, you know, here's what to do pre-event. Here's what to do during the event. During the event, we will actually remind people about every 30 minutes or so. Hey, by the way, like, we'll pop it in the chat. Go ahead and grab your, if you're a VIP, go ahead and grab your scent and spritz it, because obviously I can't afford to send everyone like a $200 scent distributor, but I can send them this little spritzer of scent and then help encourage them to remind them to use it throughout the event. So as we're training their brain elsewhere, we're also going to do the game leading up to the event again and using the game pieces to help get their brain in the right space. So some of the stuff that we put inside our games is, you know, tracking your water, which makes a bigger difference than most of us want to say.
Yes. We've talked about this just the other day. Yeah.
Oh, did you? Like,
yeah,
we don't realize how much it impacts as individuals mm-hmm. with ADHD. Mm-hmm. It really makes a big difference. Controlling sugar intake also makes a huge difference. And so we'll have all these pieces leading up to the event itself for everyone. Like, hey, here's the things to start tracking and modulating so that you can be at your peak for the mm-hmm. event, get the most out of the event. And then everyone will get some instructions on how to mm-hmm. participate in the event. We did come up with a really cool note-taking guide, basically. So mm-hmm. for every event, we now create a custom, like basically a coloring placemat. And it's yeah. built so that you can write your notes into the placemat. So you're coloring, which stimulates basically multiple pieces of the brain. And so you actually remember the information longer because you have more of your brain stimulated while you're mm-hmm. coloring and taking notes on the event. So everyone will get that. The people who just need the content, we can't send them the box, we can't send them the scent, but we can send them instructions on yeah. how to be careful about what they eat, how to set themselves up pre-event, yeah. during the event, post-event. And so that's what we'll be doing a lot of, is just basically begging them to help us make the most of this for them.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. That's so cool. Wow. Okay. Well, we've covered a lot today. Before I go in and ask you the questions we ask everyone who comes on this podcast, Sarah, do you have anything you wanted to add?
No, just like, this is really interesting. And I love how in our little like before chat, you were like, oh yeah, like, thank you so much for getting me research. And then like casually just throughout this whole conversation, yeah. like you actually have a bunch.
I was like, okay, sorry.
We didn't have the research as far as like, are ADHD people more sensitive to?
Yeah. We'll put this in the podcast. You'll have it now.
The paper mentions that it's the first one to ever endeavor this. So yeah, it's a new branch of research. Very exciting. I love it so much. Yeah. Thank you so mm-hmm. much for chatting with us and like humoring my questions.
You're so welcome.
Yeah. So nice to like listen to this. Like, I feel great now.
I'm glad.
It's very, very cool.
And I will say a lot of our research hasn't necessarily been applied to the ADHD brain. Like it's been applied to mm-hmm. here's what happens in the brain. And then we were like,
mm-hmm. yeah,
what can we do?
I bet it works for ADHD. yeah. Right. Definitely. So we have a couple of questions we ask everybody who comes on the podcast. The first question is, tell us about one professional achievement that you're most proud of.
Here's the thing. I'm always like, as soon as I get something done, then I'm like, all right, what's next? So mm-hmm. I feel like any one that I'm going to grab is going to be outdated. But I will say, I think I am incredibly proud of the song we produced last year. So we actually wrote and produced a pop ballad on what it's like to be an entrepreneur. It's called Fly, an Entrepreneur's Journey. Mm-hmm. And Susanna, my technical director, her and I co-wrote the lyrics, and then she composed all of the stuff. And then we actually got it recorded, produced. We produced a music video, and it's on iTunes and Spotify and all of these places. And I think
wow,
that was like
drop
this really
link.
Cool
we'll
opportunity.
Drop the link below.
I will grab that. Yeah. Yes. I think I'm most proud of that because one, it was so much work, but two, music impacts the brain so very powerfully. And that's something where we really get to make a difference for a lot of people. I have people who message me and they're like, by the way, I just rewatch that about once a week just because I just need the boost. And I got to bring together the violin, you know, we got to bring together the mm-hmm. singing, we got to bring together everything we've been learning. So it was kind of like this really great culmination of everything we've been working on for a while. So I think mm-hmm. as of today, that's probably the one I'm most proud of right now.
Awesome. That's great. Well, thank you for picking one. The other question we have is there a professional failure that embarrasses you? And how did you deal with that?
I'm fairly hard to embarrass because I don't put a lot of stock in what other people think of me. The people that matter to me, I put a lot more stock in what they think of me, which is why we took so long to go public with the ADHD thing, because these were people that really mattered to me that thought it was a bad idea. I know. We lost a ridiculous amount of money on the 2020 Grow Retreat to the point where when I was trying to add up how much money we lost, I stopped because I didn't want to know. Like it was,
wow.
It was multi five figures
wow.
that okay. we lost yeah. on that event.
Yeah.
And I know for like some people, it's like, oh, well, multi five. Yeah. Okay. It was an, you know, it was barely a six-figure event. So, to lose multi-five figures, like that was, and I don't talk about that one a whole lot, primarily because on the positive side, that was the last event we ever lost money on. We've not lost money on any events since then. We've sold out all of our events since then. Like we kind of came a really long ways. But that was one that I was definitely, I think, yeah, I was embarrassed at the time.
How did you manage that? Like dealing with that and obviously dealing with having to continue, like especially conferences, that's a huge, you know, okay, we're going to do it again.
Yeah, well, you know, part of it was we'd sold a bunch of tickets to the 2021 group retreat. So by the time I ended up and realized we'd lost all this money, I was like, we have to do it again. Like we have to now. We just sold a bunch of tickets. Great. And I am a big believer though that like we can either have that mistake, that screw up, and we can let it define us or we can let it become a launching point. And so I very much took a lot of time to evaluate like, okay, why did we lose money on this event? What happened here? What happened on a practical side? Like, where did we spend money that we probably didn't need to? And then simultaneously, what happened on like a mindset side? And there was a huge component of that loss that was mindset, that was me getting cocky. And we just, the 2019 Grow Retreat, we'd made a nice profit margin on. And so I said, great. And so we blew up the budget for the 2020 Grow Retreat and obviously learned our lesson there. We did spend a lot of money on stuff we didn't need to spend money on. And so it was, I did the tactical analysis first. It took me a few months to realize I needed to do the mental analysis and figure out why we did that.
Yeah, from that the emotional mental regulation too. Piece. Like we,
yeah.
I really appreciate you sharing that because the reason we ask is obviously, I think, especially in this context, you can get built up and up and up. And we want to kind of remind people that we are humans as well with our own stuff. And also because emotional regulation is such a big part of ADHD, you know, if you try and do anything that sort of pushes the boat out a little bit, you are going to experience that self-criticism and that rejection sensitivity. And so it is good to be able to just kind of share about that alongside those good things. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
I don't talk about that very often, but people don't usually ask that question. So it did take me a minute, but I'm glad we had room to talk about it. Cause you're right. I think people do, you know, especially when you get on a podcast or you're hearing someone talk, right? It's very easy to put them on a pedestal and
be like, oh, that person is just probably, you know, perfect.
Yeah.
Does everything.
Stephanie has control out of her environment. She never spirals.
Impulsivity is for us all. No one is safe. Well, none in this community, I guess.
Yeah. It's actually the question that I was always afraid of getting asked on podcasts because I did a lot before I started my own. And I was always like afraid someone was going to ask me. And then I was like, right, we're putting that in the podcast.
If I was terrified of it, everyone else has to deal with it.
So if you had an ADHD life motto, you know, just casually, what would it be?
I think kind of two parts. Done is better than perfect. And I can always change directions. Just get it out there. Get it done. It's not going to be perfect. But one, I can always do it again. Two, I can change direction. If I start moving towards a goal and I realize that's not the goal that I actually want to achieve, there's nothing that says I have to go achieve that goal. I don't have to be perfect at achieving that goal. And when I go to put something out, it doesn't have to be perfect. I would rather get something out there. You know, the first label for our custom scent was terrible looking, right? Yeah. But I got a label and we got it out there. And then I went back and I got a graphic designer to actually, you know, create a really nice looking label for our custom scent. Done is always going to be better than perfect. We get so caught up in figuring out what is the right path forward I oftentimes get so caught, like I can get stuck in what is the right path forward. I need to pick the right way to go, like from the get-go and then never putting something out until it's perfect. It's at that level and it's never going to be. It's just get it out there and keep moving. And you know, the good thing about the internet is there's so much content out there. Like, even if I put something out there that's not great, it's going to be buried in another year. So it's all good.
That's
what I believe.
That's probably very, very true and a really great motto. Thank you so much, Stephanie. It's really, really been wonderful to have you on. It's been so great to talk about this. I'm going to go home and think about my, I'm going to think about my office and figure out what to do. And yeah, it's really great to know that there are somewhere conferences that are made for us. That's a really amazing, amazing thing. So tell people about, you know, where you are, where people can find you, all of those things.
Yeah. Well, so if you want to get on our mailing list or learn about the events, you can go to the company website. That's growdisrupt.com. Like, if you want to create growth, you have to do something different than what you've been doing in the past and disrupt it. So growdisrupt.com, we've got info on our events there. We've got the mailing list you can opt into, which I send, you know, an email a week with either ADHD tips or marketing tips. Those are the two things people ask me about. So you get one of the two every other week. And then I spend probably way too much time on LinkedIn. So that's probably the best place if you want to connect with me directly. I mean, you can go to my personal website is thestephanieschellar.com, and you're welcome to go there and you can get a hold of me there too. But if you want to connect, I spend too many hours on LinkedIn. So you can find me there. I've got
that
a
is where we
in my
met,
profile.
So.
It is. I know. I've become obsessed with the platform.
Awesome. Well, really, really great to have you on. And yeah, very, very excited to have everyone listen to this. I think it's going to provide a lot of practical strategies. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. Thanks for doing the time to put together all the questions and finding the study about the sensory stimuli. I'm super excited that we have proof of that now. So
yes. Feel free. Research is free and everywhere. So definitely have a look and check it out. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, y'all.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to reach out or connect with us, you can leave us a message at admin@unconventionalorganization.com.
You can also find out more about our ADHD coaching organization, read our free articles, or sign up to our online courses at unconventionalorganization.com. That's organization with a Z or an S. They both will get you there.
If you'd like to learn more about what we discussed here today, or you want to read the transcript, you can find that at our show notes page at unconventionalorganization.com.
If you've enjoyed this podcast and think someone else might find the strategies and stories helpful, the best thing you can do is share episodes using the share button in the podcast player, or leave a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify or your podcast player of choice, letting them know why you've benefited from this podcast.
Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you back in the ADHD lab next week.